probably
that's the way to greet the people. The call. It's fantastic. Hello. Welcome to Intellectual Kink. I'm adjusting my microphone levels. I'm Insidious Muse.
I'm Service Slut.
She's actually currently a coughing slut. So she's getting herself some things to stuff in her mouth because that's what sluts do. So that she doesn't cough. See what I'm saying? See how that one works. Except for you're not, you know, you don't stuff things in your mouth. It doesn't, that's not
how
you roll.
Not, no.
For whatever, whatever reason, that is what that is. Anyway, but I didn't say anywho. Here we are, and tonight I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
No, because you did a lot of fucking.
I had the sex because the sex happened after you left too.
For those of you,
there was more sex.
Who would like to know what that was? Can you just search the hashtag watching I am fuck, and you will get a play by play. You're welcome.
It was very entertaining.
It was. Yes,
I wasn't watching. I was busy. So
yeah, you were busy getting pounded.
I told
into
you that's
the wall.
What he does. That's what he does. It's my favorite thing about EB. Favorite thing,
dude.
He's a machine. Like I told you, he doesn't look like it. Like you would not guess it to talk to him.
No. Or,
but then all of a sudden I was like, whoa. See, this is why I don't always go out with the best looking guys.
You know what though? But he had like a baby face. Like he was okay.
Yeah, totally baby face.
Like he's totally looked like the kind of guy that I would have dated when I, you know, when I was still dating men. Don't tell him I said that.
I won't. anyway.
So, and you know, wait, this is key. Those of you on the Twitter that follow us know just how unhappy my mistress becomes when she is deprived of the sex.
Yes.
I would categorize you having sex as a form of self-care.
I actually, that was going to come up tonight because since the topic is self-care. Mm-hmm. EB and I were discussing that I get grumpy when I don't have sex.
Oh,
and he
really?
Was
no.
Very sweet. And he said, do you feel better now? And I said, yeah, like a lot better. He goes, you're not going to like beat up Nancy? And I said, no. He's like, yeah, because I couldn't imagine seeing you beat up Nancy.
No, that is not what he said.
I swear to God, that's what he said. And I said, I could throw some pretty good punches. very entertaining. But my follow-up was, yeah, I mean, who needs therapy when you have EB? It's called sex therapy. I'm going with that.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, and so to segue into the topic, which is self-care. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you and I personally talk about with each other quite a bit because it's, I think that it is really one of those topics that is just oft forgotten. And yet it is so incredibly important, not just within the confines of DS or any relationship, but as an individual, as a human being, even if you don't have a current relationship, self-care is probably one of the most important things that you can do in your life. And I think it's just one of those things that we forget. I mean, within our society, we end up getting so caught up in the things that we have to do and obligations. And then even in these bouts of laziness that are not and have nothing to do with self-care, they're just flat out lazy. Those days where you just sit and you do nothing but watch Netflix, that's not self-care. I get it, that it's fun and it's awesome sometimes. But at the end of it, you didn't do anything really for yourself. You know, an hour of vegging is really probably all you need. But there are other things that you need. You need physically, you need mentally, you need emotionally that are components of self-care and that we forget about them. And a lot of times we as human beings have an expectation that somebody else is going to help us take care of these things, whatever they may be. And that's where we falter. And it's not anybody else's responsibility. It's our own. It's our own to make sure that these things happen. I think that sense of somebody else's responsibility a lot comes in with a DS where, you know, a submissive, they're like, well, unless my dominant tells me to, maybe I'm not going to do it. And that's not, it depends on the confines of how the relationship is defined. However, really, most dominants want a submissive that knows how to take care of themselves, that know when they're falling off of the wagon or when they're not, you know, in the tip-top shape to be the best submissive they can be. And on the flip side, it's a dominant's responsibility to take care of themselves to ensure that they're going to be the best dominant that they can be, the best person. It's all about making sure that you are a well-tuned machine. It's like mental, emotional, physical tune-up. That's what self-care is. What?
No, I'm just thinking about you getting tuned up last night.
This is all going to be about the sex last
night,
isn't it?
No, no. It's not going to be all about the sex.
Well, and to give an example, I mean, what would you categorize for self-care for yourself?
I am not an example to follow.
I'm asking you what you would say are examples.
I'm getting there.
All right. You're like the what not to wear of self-care.
Dude. I am like the poster child for the complete opposite of self-care. But when it does happen, it's getting enough sleep.
Okay.
Taking regular showers.
Okay. Showers are magical.
Yes. Taking pride in my appearance.
Ah.
Hence this.
The beautiful, she has a new haircut and it is gorgeous. of course, many of you don't have any idea what she looks like. Those of you who do, she has this most beautiful, like very long, dark hair, and it would go down almost to her waist until she got it cut. And it was all just kind of one length and it was very long. And all she ever did was pull it back. Pull it back. And when she wears it down, everybody comments on her hair because she wears it down because she has such pale skin and these blue eyes with the dark hair. It's like, wow, it's that combination that everybody's like, damn. And so she always pulls it back. I'm like, why do you do that? What's the point of having such fantastic hair if all you do is pull it back? And so she went as her self-care. And she got this fantastic cut with these long layers and these side swept bangs. Oh my God, it's so cute. I'm so excited. I would do Barbie dress up with her hair.
Oh, are we doing dollification? Is that what we're doing?
We can.
Yes. And those are just a few things. I think that I hesitated to say those things because they sound like really basic stuff. But sometimes, getting enough water in a day, can be a challenge. You know, making sure you eat on time is a challenge. I know that it's not just specific to me where, you know, you're an S type and you have all these responsibilities. You have work and all the responsibilities that are within that. You have your family. You have friends, and then you have your D type, and then all of the responsibilities that come with that. And it gets really, really easy to just let yourself kind of fall through the cracks. Uh-huh. And it's not anybody's fault. It just happens because you were so caught up in taking care of everybody else or, you know, keeping up with everything else that you just forget. You genuinely just forget. And then you don't remember until, you know, it's the middle of the workday, you're having a hard time breathing and you're kind of flipping out. And yeah.
And you pop an Ativan.
And you pop an Ativan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the hardest part about self-care, number one, is the motivation to do it. But even before that is identifying what works for you versus what works for somebody else. Because Nancy can tell you everything that she needs to do for self-care. And some of it may resonate with you. And some of it may be like, psh, why? That seems so basic. Or that seems like I could never do that. Whatever it is on either side. But it's about what works for you and what doesn't. Let me give you an example. One of the things for me that is going to seem like the oddest self-care you could ever possibly imagine, one of the things that I can do that like just makes me feel fantastic is have a clean living room. If I walk in and my living room is clean, I don't have to worry about it. Is there stress? I don't have to yell at anybody for why didn't you put a dish away? It's clean. I'm like, it's like this one thing I don't have to worry about. And so for me, if I'm really being active in my self-care, I would clean up my living room every day at the end of the day to ensure that, you know, the next day it's nice and clean, right? That's the idea. But I know that. Does that mean I like cleaning my living room? Not so much. I don't really like picking up after other people. It's just not my thing, go figure. But if I'm trying to like be diligent in my own self-care, I know that it's really a minor thing. It's what, 10, 15 minutes at the end of a day. And it makes a huge impact for the next 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about, where you need to be aware of yourself, of what works for you and what doesn't. I mean, for an example, another example, the idea of staying in bed all day and watching TV or Netflix, it has an appeal on one level because you're like, I'm taking care of myself all day, laying in bed, and I'm self-caring all day. At the end of the day, I will literally want to stab myself in the head because I did nothing. I mean, nothing. There was no productivity. I have nothing to show for the day. If I don't have something to show for what I've done, I like flip the fuck out. So for me, that's like anti-self-care. Like I can't do nothing. Like the end of the day when I've done nothing, I'm like, God, I just feel like shit. Like it's a downward spiral at that point. So if that makes sense, you know, like you have to really be aware of what works and what doesn't work for yourself personally.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else may be like, wow, that sounds like heaven, you know, and that might be their self-care because, again, it's about them, what works for them personally.
See, and I mean, I end up doing that a lot. And I know that part of it is that sometimes I just want to veg, but I have to keep reminding myself that I'm... I have to keep reminding myself that I can't stay in bed as much as I do because I am currently battling depression. So it's like, that's like the, no, I am, that is not something for me to do.
Right.
Because it's not productive.
It's not conducive.
It's not self-care. It's, mm-hmm. you know, maybe in other times when I'm not as depressed and, you know, I am just seriously tired, like I'm just tired, genuinely tired, then yeah, maybe it's okay. But, you know, if it's something where it's not really helping,
it's self-coddling, which is not the same thing as self-care. Mm-hmm. Self-coddling is not productive. It's not effective. Self-care is. I mean, you can, under the list of self-care can be, you know, exercising 3 times a week, exercising 30 times a day, 30 minutes a day, whatever those things, just basic, you know, exercise. Like you said, drinking water. Some people's self-care could be about, you know, monitoring their diet, ensuring that they're getting fruits and vegetables and those kinds of things. And for some people, health, you know, the healthcare. Self-care could be reading for 20 minutes a day, writing for 20 minutes a day, journaling on a daily basis, making sure that they connect with one friend a day. Those are the types of things that can be considered self-care. And it's all about kind of, if you know how your car runs, you know what kind of oil it needs. And that's what it boils down to.
So for like the past, like, I don't know how many days, every day I've been texting Redemption's girl and asking her if she drank water today.
Okay.
And I'm sure like the last time that I did it, I probably annoyed her a lot. And I realized that obviously I started doing it because I listened to, she's awesome and she's our friend and she has an awesome podcast called The Fearless Submissive.
Yeah.
You should totally listen to it. And she had an episode about self-care and she talked about, you know, things that had been happening to her and how she needed to take a better care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so
she had a rude wake up call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I started texting her, asking her about that. And the first time it was funny. And then like the second time I was like, oh, hey, let's both take our meds right now. 1, 2, 3, go. And you know,
wow.
That was like an actual text that I sent her. Right?
Oh, wow.
I mean, but I was being silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized the last time that I texted her to ask her if she had had any water that day, that I wasn't drinking water.
Ooh.
I wasn't doing those things. And I felt like, you know, asking her if she had done it was almost kind of a loophole for me, mm-hmm. not to, you know? I mean, I care about her. I love you, Julie, so much. I care about her, obviously, but there was something that I was like, wait, what am I doing? What am I really doing right now?
Yeah. Are you assuaging your guilt for not doing the same exact thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the idea, I mean, a buddy system, I think, is fantastic. Having a buddy system to ensure that you're doing whatever this one thing that you're committing to is brilliant. I mean, it's usually generally very effective unless you have a buddy that lets you get away with shit, which tends to be the case sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not using it in the way that it's really intended, then it's not nearly as effective. So like for you, if you're, you know, trying to help her out, but
even
that's
though
not...
she didn't ask me to.
Oh, she didn't ask you to.
She didn't ask me to help her out.
I would fucking hate you.
Right?
I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So
I'll send her flowers or something.
She doesn't need flowers.
I don't know. I feel bad.
Send her a case of water. Clearly that seems to be the issue.
Oh my fucking God.
That would be fucked up.
Wouldn't it be fucked up?
It'd be totally a sadist thing to do.
You send her the case of water.
I know. I'll just see her in person. How's that?
Whenever that happens.
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you and I mean, you pointed out some of the things that you had that were self-care issues. And the problem when you have a relationship where you have a DS relationship, when the other person is not doing their self-care, it really does impact the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not on your A game, you can't give me service.
I can want to.
And you do want
but,
to. But you can't.
Hold on.
Oh, there's a hold on.
Just a disclaimer. And that's not really a disclaimer. It's just, you know, I'm just probably disclosing a lot more than I felt prepared to. I want to. There is the want, you know, and then, and we talked about it, you know, it'll be a bad day. Something will happen at work or mm-hmm. something will happen at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to your house and then it's like, hey, what's up? I'm going to collapse in your arms now.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes.
That will happen.
That happens.
That happens. And the thing is that there's nothing inherently wrong with that, except the frequency with which it happens.
Well, no, I mean, what is inherently wrong with it is that you didn't come out with that being a potential issue or that you wouldn't be 100%. And I think that that's one of the problems. I think you can't really participate in self-care when you aren't self-identifying issues.
Oh, no. What I'm saying that is not inherently wrong is leaning on your dominant for support.
No.
But not as frequently as I've been doing with you.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens. But to a broader point is that you can't participate in self-care if you're not self-identifying what's going on. So, for example, you, for the lack of a better term, you were being an ostrich. You were sticking your head in the sand and trying to like pretend that whatever these things in your life weren't impacting you the way that they were. And you were trying to live your life as normally as you had been. But you were really at about 50%. You know, and you weren't really able to do what you had been doing before, but you kept just kind of going through the motions. You were still really only giving 50% because that's all you could give because, you know, you had all of these major things that happened in your life at one time, which takes a long time to recover. I mean, I understand that as a human being. And so if you're not doing your due diligence in identifying within yourself what's going on, then how can you care for yourself? If you don't pay attention to the mileage of the car, you don't know when the oil changes do. You don't know when you're over. You don't know, oh my God, when was the last time I rotated my tires? All of these things. I mean, I'm using car analogies because it's a very accurate thing. you know, you need to get your oil change, you need to rotate your tires, you need to do these types of things. And so if you're not aware of that information, you're not keeping up with that data, then you can't possibly do the required maintenance to ensure that your human vehicle continues running smoothly. And that, I mean, that's not a fault of your own. It's not a criticism. It's a human error that we all make every single time. I've made it numerous times because we want to believe that we're capable of doing what we've always done. We don't want to admit to ourselves that we have impediments, that we have some disability at the moment to do whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is we get disabled by a multitude of things every single day. It could be emotional, it could be mental, it could be, you know, physical. And these things will impede our ability to be everything we can be. And the idea is if we practice, you know, a reasonable amount of self-care, I'm not talking about being like a freaking, you know, taskmaster of yourself, but a reasonable amount of self-care, then it should be easier for us to continue in as much as we possibly can our best vein. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you said something awesome. You know how sometimes, like, when we're talking and we're bullshitting, and then, like, you listen back to the shows, and then you're like, oh, I said that. That was smart.
I was like, wow, I was really smart. Where the fuck did that come from?
Well, this right now, what just happened, remember that.
I'll go back and listen. I'll be really excited to hear what that has to say.
Mm-hmm. So then, fuck, man.
What?
I hate this cough.
I'm sorry. I hate your cough too.
Yeah. I think, you know, but also when, okay. When you do have that time when you can lean on your dominant, I think it's really easy to feel like you shouldn't, or that you should, you know, be not this puddle. But I think that there's something really important that happens when there is that leaning upon, you know, it brings you closer. And I think that it's another way to show your vulnerabilities. You know, showing your vulnerabilities is not just about taking off all your clothes and taking a beating. You know, it's about being emotionally vulnerable.
Right, which takes a great deal of courage. It takes a lot more courage to do that than to take your clothes off and be beaten.
And I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that, you know, when an S-type does that, when they open themselves up like that to their D-type, I mean, I'm sure that's got to give you some kind of reassurance of the trust that they have in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's the nut of where DS really lives, is when both sides are being emotionally vulnerable to the other, and they both trust the other with that moment of vulnerability. I think that that's really where it all has to stem from. And if you're not being emotionally vulnerable, then I think that that really negatively, it negates a lot of the relationship. Then you're no longer really DS, you're top and bottom, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's not when either side is feeling these, you know, when they're not 100% and they need resources, I'm not saying don't reach out to the opposing person of your relationship. But what I think is also really important is having a network of people to whom you can go for support.
And make sure to ask them beforehand, or before you give your support, ask them if it's okay.
Before you start nagging somebody about their water.
I'm texting her right now because I feel really bad.
You're so silly. And I think that that's another, that's a component that should be kind of one of those pillars of self-care. And that's about ensuring that you maintain relationships with people. Friendships, you know, kinships, whatever they may be, in order to ensure that you can help them and they can help you. You have that kind of reciprocity. And sometimes, especially when people get into a DS relationship, they sometimes forget about those other relationships, those networks that are so important, because they're like, oh, no, I have everything in this person, which you can't really get everything in any one person. That's far too much responsibility for whoever that person is. And you need to be able to have other resources and other people outside of just the fact that maybe that person in your relationship is like the be all end all of everything, and you probably could get everything from them. But it's not good to have a unidirectional information. Having multiple sources of information is only going to better you as a human being. It's only going to better your relationship. So I think that, you know, as I was saying, one of the pillars of self-care is maintaining these relationships with these networks in order to ensure that you have those sources at a future time, and that other people have you as a source as well. Because it's not just about reaching out and getting. It's also about giving, because I know when I give help, I feel better about myself. That's a kind of self-care for me as well, you know, to a limit, because if I give everything, then it's like, oh, I'm done and I don't ever want to see you again. So, but that's one of my own personal limits. It's one of those things where if you engage in that reciprocity, then you do absolutely, you are engaging in self-care for yourself, and somebody else is engaging in self-care for themselves. So everybody wins. Everybody wins while you text.
What? No, I felt really bad. Sorry. You know, shit, if every single time I'm going to start talking, I start coughing. This is horrible. Anyways, I think that the carrot on the stick, that thing that's going to motivate you to find out what self-care is for you and to actually follow through with it, I think there's a couple of things. You know, you want to be as an S type, you want to be the best for your D type. You want them to be proud of you. You want them to, you know, show you off, and like other people are like, wow, I want that S type, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm sure you don't quite feel that way as much as you did before now, because my service has been subpar recently.
You mean, wait, other people saying it or me saying it?
No, I mean, like, you know, there's not, like, I feel like my stock went down a little bit.
It's all relative.
Yeah, but, you know.
Trust me, I still get people who are like, hey, can I clone her?
That's cute.
And I just smile. I'm like, yeah, sure, you can clone her.
Thanks.
Hey, you know what? There are issues that you bring to people, and there are issues you keep behind closed doors. That's how I was raised.
Right.
So they don't need to know our issues. I mean, unless they listen to the show,
obviously.
And then they know everything.
Then they know everything.
No secrets.
But you know, you can't be 100% for someone else if you're not 100% for yourself.
Absolutely.
So I think that's something that's really important to keep in mind, especially if you are service oriented. Of course, you want to do all of the things for your D type, but I mean, how realistic is that if you can't do all of the things for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want, I get that. There's this like, I don't know what the fuck it is, but there's this like kind of like, there's all these red flags that start coming up for me, like things that are me, and like I just speed right past them. And I'm like, nope, go to her house. Nope, I don't care if I only slept 4 hours last night. Who gives a shit? I'm going to go to her house, and this is what I'm going to do, and
I'm gonna
whatever.
I'm going to clean all of the things.
Yeah.
Do all of the things.
Yeah, I'm just, that's what I'm going to do. Who gives a fuck about everything else? Yeah. And it doesn't quite end the way that I imagine it. And then what ends up happening is that she doesn't get the service that she expected. I ignored all of those red flags for myself, and then no one's happy.
True. It's true. It just ends up in, you know, bitter disappointment, broken down on the side of the road, waiting for AAA.
What happens to a dominant when they don't do their self-care? And how does that impact the S-type?
Part of being a dominant is having that confidence that a submissive trusts you is valid, that your skills and your ability to be a dominant over anybody is worthwhile, is all of that is true. And when, for me personally, when I don't take my own self-care seriously, that wavers significantly. My sense of self suffers. Say that five times fast. My sense of being, if I can't control my own life, my own body, my own everything, there is a nagging thought in the back of my head that constantly says, what the fuck? You can't even fucking dom yourself. You think you're going to fucking dom somebody else? You know, and it's there, and it just, it's like that beacon that keeps blinking in the middle of the night, and you're like, I can't sleep because that fucking light is on. And that's kind of how it is. And if I don't do things, which I don't, it becomes this inner battle. There's this turmoil that goes on in my head. And I've got to, you know, for lack of a better term, put my game face on when it's time to, you know, go play at the dungeon, or it's time to do the show, or it's time to, you know, be dominant, or it's time to punish. It's like, okay, I got it.
Make it till you make it.
Exactly. And that's really what it boils down to, is like, okay, I don't feel it. I'm just going to fucking do it. I'm just going to do it, and it'll happen. And I mean, it's fake it till you make it is insanely effective for many, many things.
But doesn't that fuck with your intent during whatever that act is?
It does, because there's always that turmoil inside. Now here's one of the challenges, is that it's not always self-care. It's sometimes it's my own shit from childhood and all that kind of stuff. I just looked behind me for my childhood.
Yeah.
Not that helps in radio, but yeah. I'm just saying. And so there's always going to be a little bit of that struggle, because that's my own psychology shit. But when I'm not doing everything I can to keep myself tip-top shape to be the D type that I know that I'm supposed to be, or really even that I know that I am on the inside, or even that people believe me to be, or whatever, all of these things go into play. There's like a multitude of overlay and overlay and overlay when we're dealing with it. So there's always a little bit of, I think a little bit of doubt isn't a bad thing, because I think that you cross into narcissism when you lack any doubt at all. But it's one of those things where if I'm taking care of myself on, you know, even just, you know, three or four or five things, drinking enough water, which seems to be a big thing. exercising is a huge thing. It's just for me mentally, it makes a huge difference for me. You know, it's sex. sex is a big thing for me. I like the sex. It's a fantastic thing.
Again, that hashtag is watching I am fuck.
That happened. Anyway, so for me, you're right. It does fuck with the intent to a degree, but I'm a good enough showman that you can't tell.
What makes you feel taken care of?
Oh, wow. That is a really complex question.
In the context of self-care.
Oh. That's,
you know,
a lot easier.
Our topic?
That's a lot easier. I'm thinking like in general, like the grand scheme of things. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, well, I have daddy issues, so should we talk about that? And that seems really inappropriate for the concept, you know, the topic. What makes me feel taken care of? When I feel empowered, that's what makes me feel taken care of. Because I'm taking care of myself. And that, it's a cycle. It ends up feeding myself. It ends up becoming a self-propelled machine. When and to be empowered, there's, you know, certain things when I'm actually doing, making the actions to get things done that I need to do. When I'm making sure my living room is clean. When Laundry Mountain is gone. You know, when, these types of things. It's like, yes, you know, I'm doing that. You know, when I go to the gym and I actually work out, you know, when I'm walking out of whatever Zumba class or even sometimes yoga, and I'm like, wow, I feel great. I feel like I'm on top of the world. It's because it's feeding myself. That's giving me gas in whatever way. You know, when I write, that does a lot for me. I feel very, I love having these, milestones of accomplishment when it's like, you know, when I do try NaNoWriMo every year and I never finish it, when I'm really in it and I'm actually starting to do it, it's like, wow, oh my God, I did 2,500 words today, which is like, bam, that's a lot of fucking words in one day. I just, that sense of, wow, I can do this. It's having that concrete evidence that is proof that I am what I tell myself I am. That's what self-care is to me. Does that make sense? You're giving me that look.
Yeah, because you just say stuff and I'm like, she's so pretty.
Thank you. I don't, you know, what makes you feel taken care of?
Feeling in control of myself. Being someone that other people can go to. Yeah. It's weird. Something really weird happens when I feel like I'm taking care of someone else. Like it feels like I'm being taken care of as well.
Right.
So that one is really big for me.
The kind of giving back concept.
Yeah. Oddly enough, when I'm at work and I'm that person that people go to because they know that I have it together and that I'm reliable, that gets me going. When my service was 100%, that felt awesome because I could always take pride in that. I'll get there again. You'll see.
I don't have any doubt. No, just been a tough year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's funny because when I think about getting taken care of, I think about cuddles. Because, you know.
Well, that's why that, when you asked the question, I was like, whoa, because that is a very different question to me than self-care. When you feel taken care of, that's almost as if there's an external force that's doing it. Self-care is very internal.
Yeah, but is it, you know, wouldn't you say that a part of self-care is also seeking out the things that make you feel good?
No.
No?
I wouldn't say that that's part of self-care. I mean, I guess it could. I mean, if I'm going to put sex in there, then I guess I have to.
Exactly. Thank you.
No, it's, I suppose it could. But I think that really broadens the definition of self-care and it makes, here's the thing. Self-care is hard enough as it is. Mm-hmm. When we start making it so we start pulling other people into it, then there are more and more excuses for why a person can't do self-care. And we have enough of them. If all you are depending upon is yourself then to take care of the self-care, then your excuses start dropping off significantly. You know, hey, I love sex. Sex is fantastic. I am a happier person when I have sex. Truth of the matter is, if I'm not having sex, I should exercise in place of that because it'll give me the same kind of endorphin rush.
Right.
So I could ostensibly get the same results by myself that I get from another human being. Don't get me wrong. I like it when they touch. It's a fantastic thing because touch therapy is a real thing. But again, I think that if we broaden that idea of self-care, I think it makes it easier for us to slack off. And it's, we all slack off enough when we are taking care of ourselves. And it becomes even worse when people are caretakers of other people. And whether it be, you know, you're caring for a parent, you're caring for a child, you're caring for a partner. Sometimes we also do makeshift caring for things where we have friends and we're caring for a friend and become very emotionally invested in them and this and that. And it impacts us. It takes our energy. It takes our compassion, our love. It takes all of that from us. And it's not to say that there's a finite amount of it, but our energy does get depleted. And if it's not being refilled, it at some point we become exhausted.
I guess that's why I brought up being taken care of. Because if someone is giving something to you, isn't that a way to refill it?
I mean, it is, absolutely. But again, I think that it's the challenge is if that's your only source, then it's no longer self-care.
Got it.
You know, you're having your mommy or daddy taking care of you, which is not, you know, really what adults do. We are supposed to not do that. But again, it takes a village, and having resources and a network and things like that is never a bad thing. And that can definitely be a part of self-care, trying to rekindle those connections.
Can kettle puddles be on my self-care list?
I don't know how you could do that by yourself.
I don't know. I just really, I mean, I...
You can ask for permission to do cuddle puddles. Yes.
Okay, there we go. That's awesome.
That just happened. No, I mean, here's the thing. If for you, cuddles isn't... I know for you, affection is a huge part of what's on your need list, which is not exactly 100% the same thing as self-care. It's on a need list. And your definition, it's sometimes a moving target. Sometimes it's a hug, and then, you know, it moves. It's like, oh, well, why not just a hug? Why not this? And it's a moving target. It makes it a challenge to do the dance with you on the where is Nancy's affectionate moment today, you know? but that's that seeking out some sort of affection, I don't think this is a bad thing. I think it's something you should do. But if you're doing all of your other self-care things, then seeking that out from an external source isn't the highest priority in the world.
Right.
Because if you're feeling good about yourself, you're feeling strong and healthy, and you've slept and you've drunk your water and you're doing all of these things, then the affection becomes, you know, like the cherry on top.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, I agree.
But it's about the self-care. I think, what are the barriers to taking that step and doing the self-care?
Oh, God. It's like, oh, it's a whole lot like clean all of the things. It's a whole lot like that where, you know, you come up with this like awesome list of all of the things that qualify as self-care and you want to do them all at once.
Mm.
Don't do that. I'm going there. Don't worry.
Go. It's a radio show. Silence doesn't work.
Okay, because that face was like, ah. Anyways. but yeah, you know, you want to do all of the things at once, and that might not necessarily work for you. I've been told that breaking them into smaller tasks might be better. And, you know, focusing on that one thing that, you know, whatever item on your self-care list for like a month and a half, making it a regular thing and then adding something else to the mix and then juggling both things and then add a third thing once you feel comfortable with those two things. I'm told that works.
Do you know that it takes 63 to 65 days to make something a habit?
No, I did not, Miss Smarty Pants.
Yes, I like to read. The common misconception is that it takes 21 days to make something a habit. Well, that came from a single doctor who did observational studies on amputees, where it took them 21 days to adjust to the fact that they no longer had whatever was amputated. And it's very different for somebody who's lost a limb versus somebody who's trying to, you know, let's say go to the gym every day. So the studies now have shown that it takes between 63 and 65 days to make something a quote unquote habit. And missing one day doesn't reset it, but missing two can. So that's a little FYI for people.
I want that.
So those little things that you're like, I want to do on a consistent basis, whatever it might be, drink 8 glasses of water a day, walk at lunch every day, go outside, eat lunch away from your desk. That's a big thing.
I think the one biggest challenge for me is, actually, no, it kind of toggles between two. You know, it goes from, do I really deserve to take this time for me? And is it selfish to do this thing for me? It goes from that to, I don't have time. There's other shit that's more important. So many, you know, whoever it is relying on me to do XYZ.
There's a third one too.
Is there?
Yeah. I mean, because those two things, those exist for a lot of, but the third one is also, I'm tired and, that's the third one. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets that.
Sure.
It's just, you know, I look and I'm like, I should totally do that. But look, there's the internet. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, and we have so many things that can distract us nowadays from whatever, that it makes it easier. So it's as if we have to set up not just whatever these things that are self-care, but we have to try and figure out what are the distractions that prevent us from doing the self-care. Are the distractions, you know, you keep hitting the snooze in the morning. Well, maybe you should, like in college, I had my alarm clock across the room on my roommate's side of the room. She didn't appreciate it.
I bet she also didn't appreciate when you fucked on her bed, huh?
I still don't actually know if she knows I did that. Whatever. Anyway, she would steal my lingerie. So I didn't really feel bad about it. Anyway, so I would have to have the alarm clock literally as far away from my bed as I possibly could, because I'm the snooze queen. Snooze, snooze, snooze. Well, I used to be. I'm not anymore. Snooze, snooze. So I would have to like get up. The alarm clock would go off, be a loud, obnoxious radio, whatever. And I'd get up and then I'd go to the alarm and I'd hit it and I'd be standing there. I'm standing, standing. And I would have to be cognizant enough to be like, okay, I'm not going to go back to bed. I'll just go to the shower. But if that's, you know, if you're aware of what your limitations are, you're aware of what are the obstacles, what are the things that will prevent you from doing whatever these things are on your self-care list, then you need to figure out a way to try and remove them as much as possible. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the biggest challenges to self-care, I mean, there's the time. And there is that I am actually taking care of other people. But I think the biggest of all of those is I know me well enough and I can be efficient enough that I can do all of that. I can take care of other people and myself. I have that capability. As fast as I talk is as fast as I think, as fast as I do things. But it's that I don't want to. I just don't want to get up.
What's behind the, I don't want to?
Laziness. I mean, that's as honest as it gets, just fucking laziness. And then, I mean, we can get into deeper if you want, where it's, you know, I don't really deserve it. And, you know, I'm not worthy.
I feel you.
Those things.
And that's why I'm the one that has you on a pedestal. What?
I'm gonna fall. But imagine if I asked you to put yourself on a pedestal.
Oh, fuck you.
Do you see? You just told me to do the same thing.
I did.
You guys are missing. There's a whole other conversation we had before, but.
We always have like these crazy conversations right before the show.
And you guys miss them.
And then I'm like, why didn't we have this conversation on the show?
Yeah. Well, you guys hear the way we talk on the show. This is really the way we talk in real life, except it's less monologue-y. This shit happens. Well, you know what? That's an interesting point if we go back to. So there's this guy that I'm going on a date with and we haven't met yet. And he has me on a fucking pedestal, like a pedestal way up high. And I'm like, whoa, I'm going to really crash when I get knocked from this pedestal. It's going to happen because it just happens. It's just one of those things when you build somebody up to be more than they could possibly humanly be. They're going to fall off a pedestal. It's just the way it happens. And so Nancy and I were talking about that, and she says, well, I got a solution for you. I'm like, yes. And she says, well, you put yourself on a pedestal. That way, nobody can knock you down because it's your pedestal. Nobody can knock you down. I mean, if you know that you're there and you have that sense of self that you belong on this pedestal, then that's it. And I think that that's the question. It's like self-care is, do I belong on that pedestal? It's a version of a self pedestal. Maybe not a really high one, but it's a version of a self-pedestal. And if you don't think that you're worthy of stepping up to that, you know, one step, you know, I'm thinking of the Olympics with the 1, 2, 3, the silver, mm-hmm. bronze, and gold. Mm-hmm. If you're like, well, I don't, maybe I deserve bronze. I'm definitely not going to go over to silver. Oh my God, I can't go to gold. That's way too high. You know, I think that that's one of the biggest barriers to self-care in general, is that that step isn't just one step. It's, you know, it's this monumental mental leap that you're worth doing this for. And for even the narcissists out there, deep down, we are a society of people with self-confidence issues. We're bombarded with things that impact our self-confidence daily, multiple times a day. And therefore, it's almost impossible not to have those self-confidence issues on some level, if we're being really, really honest. And so I think that's why we don't take that leap, that step onto that pedestal for ourselves, to treat ourselves the way other people perceive us needing or should be treated. You know, if I just treated myself the way that you think I should be treated, fuck, I would, Jesus God, I can't even think of the things I would do. I'd be a fucking Olympian today and have a PhD and have a Nobel Prize, you know, all of those things. But I don't look at myself the way you look at me. And so I'm not going to jump onto even, you know, that really, really low pedestal, much less the Eiffel Tower you have me on. You know what I'm saying? You feeling me, dog?
Yes. I'm still going to have you on the pedestal.
I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm talking about the concept of we as individuals making that step up, really taking that concerted effort and just committing. You know, just doing it.
My fear is always that I'm going to come across as being, you know, selfish. That is always my fear.
Well, I think everything is about balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody has every right to be selfish in a moment, for whatever it might be. And it's about perception as well, where if you say no to somebody else because you are taking care of something, because that is what you've committed to yourself, then they might perceive it to be selfish. But in reality, you're not being selfish because, you know, you helped somebody before, or you may help them another time. I think that it's about balancing it out, balancing the care for ourselves and our relationships with other people. And no relationship should be one-sided, where one person is giving entirely and never getting any sort of reciprocity. And I think that that's when we start emptying our self-care banks by giving to other people so much and not giving to ourselves. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense.
And I think that it's also about how you define selfish. I think that the problem that we get a lot of times, and a lot of times about how we've been raised.
Oh yeah,
you know, you come from a large family, so if you wanted something,
oh no,
it was selfish. It was perceived to be selfish.
It still is.
You know, and it doesn't. And it, whether it's a completely legitimate thing that you're requesting, and it's not really even negatively impacting anybody, it's still perceived to be selfish. And so you've got that mental tape playing in your head from your childhood that's going to be impacting when you make your choices, when you take care of yourself and you don't. And you have to do whatever you can to do a digital overlay so that you're no longer perceiving yourself to be selfish.
I think this has been a really great show.
Yeah.
Super productive.
I feel really good. I feel like we did really good self-care on the show today. I do.
Talking about how we fail at self-care?
I will listen back and feel better about it then, too. before we sign off, though, if you can please, if you're listening to this on iTunes currently, if you could do a review for us, it would be really fantastic. It's the best way that we can actually get some sort of appearance, notoriety within the iTunes bank of the millions of podcasts that they have. And rate us, please. We'd appreciate that as well.
Please, please, please.
And you know what? Feel free to share us, because we personally think that it's a really great show. We're really proud of it. We think that it's informative and educational. And if you would like to give us some feedback, we'll take that as well, because I'm on the Twitter at Insidious Muse.
And I'm at Service Slut.
And we are at Kinkalectual for Intellectual Kink, and we're always here at Skid Row Studios.
Yeah. And a special hello to Evil Little Bitch, who sent us the loveliest little message on FetLife. And I can't even begin to tell you like how much that made my night. It's just always nice to hear from listeners. And
it is.
And so, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week. I think next week we're talking about swingers.
Dude, no, I don't know.
The week after,
I don't even fucking know anymore.
You know what? We got a lot going on. So just stay tuned for the cool shit we do.
And my birthday's coming up.
And her birthday's coming up.
Okay,
right,
bye.
Thanks, bye.